become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you. You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
I'm making my lunch! So can I get you gentlemen something more to drink? Or maybe something to nibble on? Some pizza shooters, shrimp poppers, or extreme fajitas?
It's the Lunchtime Show with Bill and Jason, live from the Mulberry Food Court.
I said lunch, not lunch!
Show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's time for lunch, as it were, here in the Mulberry Town Mall with Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian.
Hello. It's always lunch somewhere.
Yes, it is. And I am the Jaystrom. Hello. Welcome to the show. We're mainly here doing having a quick bite to eat, and we're doing a show as kind of a shout out to our listeners that, hey, we still exist and we're doing a show. We missed last week. Bill, you were out of town for your birthday. Steven was out of town for some reason.
Oh, he was out of town.
Yeah. He couldn't do the show first, he told me. And then a couple of days later, you said you couldn't do the show. And I said, well, it looks like we're not doing a show. I'm not going to do a solo show. Do I look like Rush Limbaugh over here?
In your excellence in broadcasting chair?
Yeah, I can't do that. I am not going to do a show by myself. But you know what? We've done so many shows in a row. Sometimes I face burnout, you know, where I'm like, oh, okay, I can't do it anymore. So it's good to take a week off. But then we went out of town the next day because... Heather, my wife's grandmother, is very ill, and they said she probably has a day or two left, maybe. So we went out to Tyler the next day. So it was good we didn't do a show, because we had to leave early. And we'd actually gone to Tyler the week before, because, you know, we need to see her. Because isn't it interesting when you just know someone doesn't have long? You know it's not going
sure.
to. Well, sure enough, by the time we got there, she had slipped into a coma. And she was at home, by the way, what they call hospice, where you just...
Yes.
They send you home where basically you're just going to die at home, you know?
Yes, they make it... It's for the best. It makes you comfortable, puts you around your family.
Yeah. And so there was a lot of family there. And I don't know how it happened, but, you know, I wanted to make sure the kids weren't in their way or being
too absolutely,
loud.
Yeah.
And so I... decided, hey, I'm going to take the girls over to the main house. You know, her granny lives next to her daughter, like on the same kind of property.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched all the kids over there for a long time, and I wondered what was going on. But if I started to walk over there, like all the kids, we're talking like five children would follow me over there. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to stay over here. You know?
Yeah,
Until finally Heather came and got me. We went to get food for everybody when we came back. And after a while, Heather and her mom went into the room and with her cousins and her aunt. And then they came out and said that she had passed. And it was really sad and everything. And what's interesting is we weren't sure what to tell Emma. Because when we were on our way down there, we told her that we're going to see Granny. Who is her, you know, great grandmother. Well, on the way down there, I said, we're going to have to tell her something on the way down there. And so we did tell her that Granny would probably pass in the next few days. And of course, it was very sad. And she was very strong, you know, and of course she died that night. Then they told everyone. So, man, it was a pretty rough night.
Yeah, that's got to be tough. I've never, like, experienced it that closely. It was more shocking whenever my grandfather passed, so, because it just kind of happened in the night when we were all asleep. Mm-hmm. We found out when we woke up in the morning, but to be so close to it and actually have to experience, especially for your wife and her cousins and aunts and everything, to be there in the room, I'm sure that meant a lot to Granny Pat, she was suffering from dementia.
Well, yeah, she was getting very little oxygen to her brain. She had to have mm-hmm. oxygen all the time. And, it was obvious her body was shutting down. And, I've never been in a situation where I was in the same house as someone who was going to die like that.
Yeah, the proximity of it.
Like, when my grandparents died, like, my aunt called me, mm-hmm. You get a call from somewhere. But I've never, like, been in the place and... Not what Heather was, where she was there with her mom holding her hand and they were just sitting bedside. And, then she passed where she stopped breathing and they checked her pulse and she had a DNR and all that stuff. So
absolutely.
It was just, it was crazy. So tomorrow is the funeral. So it was like, I can't really prepare for a show and then we're going to leave early tomorrow or whatever. So it's just,
That's probably the last thing you want to do is work on a show.
Yeah. That's what it turned out. But it is nice to have some levity, some to think about other things. What's funny is, Heather's birthday is on Monday. And I bet you if you asked her or if you told her, she'd go, oh, my God, it is. Like, her mind has been totally on other things,
mm-hmm.
with work and helping her mom and stuff. So it's just nice to... their birthday will happen on Monday and maybe it'll take our mind off things after this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, what have you been up to, Bill?
I've been neck deep in school these first couple weeks. I have my midterm here in about a week and a half. So I've been studying a lot, nothing has been going on with me. Nothing eventful. Had my birthday last weekend on the 20th. And my sister had bought tickets a couple of weeks before that for a pirate game because it was the last fireworks of the season. And the fireworks in Pittsburgh are always excellent because it's this Zambelli family. They're like world renowned for their fireworks. And they use these fireworks nights to test the stuff for the next year. So they put on like a 10-minute show.
Wow.
And just... go all out, and the game was awful. It was 0-0 all the way to the top of the ninth inning. It was just boring as all get out, and you go there and I haven't been to a baseball game in ages. I'd never been to PNC Park. It's a gorgeous park. It's considered one of the most beautiful, if not the most beautiful baseball park in the Major League Baseball. And but everything is so expensive.
Right,
I had to get away, just walk around a little bit because the game was so boring. So I was like, oh, I'll buy some water and get myself a Gatorade because I'm sweating like crazy. And, a bottle of Gatorade that would normally cost $1, smart water bottles that are a liter, normally like $1.25, $1.50. There it's $6.25 and $6. And, I spent $28 on water, and then, a hot dog is $6, nachos are $8, and I was just, I was tapped out by the end of the night. It's ridiculous how much they just gouge you whenever you're at the ballpark.
Oh, yeah, totally. Just so much money.
Yeah, but it was a terrible game, but I had fun with my, one of my sisters, my middle sister, my niece, and my mom, and... It was nice. It was nice to do something for my birthday. I haven't done anything for my birthday in a very long time.
Yeah, you need to do something like that.
And it's funny, around my birthday, for some reason, something bad always happens. I think this was the first year that something bad didn't happen. Always like my dad is always sick or in the hospital.
Yeah.
And then 4 years ago, my mom was in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just my birthday's always miserable. So it was nice to have every, like, nothing happen leading up to it.
Well,
I know.
Eric, the actor, died, so...
Well, that's true. That
well, why
was, that
Heather's grandmother died on her birthday?
Oh, my God.
Something bad to that. No,
my birthday is like a black cloud on
No, it's not. I'm just kidding. She was 89 years old, by the way, so it wasn't like this tragic, sudden thing. It's like they knew it was going to happen. You know what? What I love... What's funny about sporting events is I really like going to, like, hockey games. I freaking hate baseball games because here in Texas, it's too hot. And as I'm sitting there, I'm like, I am miserable sitting here. In probably better weather, you know, cooler, it's probably nice. But it's such a pain in the ass. And this is, you know, God bless my wife for putting up with me. But I'm like... You got to park far away and walk a real long time to get there. Then when you even get in the building, it takes forever to find your seat. Then when you have your seat, you can barely fit in it. And
seats are tiny, aren't they?
Yeah, I can't, you know, the sides of my waist are like, you know, just scrapes the side. But, yeah, I'm just a pain in the ass when I go to things like that. I do like hockey games, but again, it's such a pain in the ass.
Yeah, even a year ago, I wouldn't have been able to make that walk or sit in those seats.
Oh, God, the seats are impossible. And you just, it's like trying to fit your ass into...
On a postage stamp.
Into a shoebox or something like that. But it's just literally like you go to sit down and then you feel the armrest and then you're like... You know, just as you just squeeze in.
It's not fun.
Then what happens in a sporting event when your team scores? You're supposed to jump up and it's like, you scrape your side.
Not happening.
And I'm like, please don't score another goal in hockey.
I didn't have to worry about that because no one stood up until the ninth inning whenever things started getting interesting. And, you know, we didn't even stand up. But we were getting so slap happy. My mom had no idea what was going on. I didn't care. I was on my phone most of the time, either texting with you or my friend Natalie. And at one point, people start standing up. And I just looked at my mom. My mom looked at me and we stayed seated and... then she started getting slap happy and started booing whenever other people were booing. And I was like, I don't even know why people are booing. Why are people booing?
And then
my mom starts booing. And it's just, it was hilarious. We were so tired and so sore. And, you know, my mom doesn't get around that well anymore because of the accident she was in that broke both of her legs. And we walked probably 3/4 of a mile along the river to get to the stadium.
See,
and I was kind of angry at my sister for not parking closer. But it's kind of a ritual of her and my niece to go to these water steps that they have near PNC Park, which are basically just the hobo bath. That's, you know, it's like this multi-leveled kind of shallow pool thing. I don't know, some artistic thing, like a waterfall.
She needs to drop your mom off and then
That's
park.
What I told her. I said, we should drop my mom off closer to the park and then park and we'll walk to the water steps. And she's like, no, no, it'll be fine. But, you know, they just, they're not around my mom constantly like I am. So they don't realize that it's not.
I always ask Heather that, do you want me to drop you guys off and I'll park and I'll come find you? Sometimes it's like, yeah. And sometimes it's like, no, it's no big deal. So usually when it's super hot, it's like, yes, drop us off at the door. And then, of course, by the time I get there, I'm drenched in sweat. Okay, I'm here.
Yeah, it was bad. And it's a really strange party atmosphere at PNC Park along the river because all the people come up in their boats. And there was just hundreds of boats along the river
And
everyone's drunk.
You can see the fireworks from your boat.
Yeah, I think that's why people were there.
That would be fun.
Yeah, you'd be directly underneath them because they shoot them off in a barge along the river there.
It'd be nice to have a boat, isn't it?
I guess. I'm not a real big boater. I'm not a fan of large bodies of water. I like the ocean. I don't mind, like, lakes, but... Rivers, for some reason, freak me out. Like, even my mom, while we were walking along the river walk, she was like, for some reason, I feel like I'm getting pulled towards the river. And she, like, grabbed onto my arm, and I had to, like, hold her so that she wouldn't walk towards the river.
Oh, it's like a tractor beam or something.
One of my big things is I don't like driving near rivers.
Because you're afraid you'll drive off the bridge or something?
I don't know. It's like as long as... Bridges used to bother me as a kid, but that was only because... I think it was the San Francisco earthquake in the early 90s where they showed the Bay Bridge and that it had collapsed in on itself. Like, I would always have, like, the waking nightmare that we were driving along the bridge, and you'd get to that point on the bridge where you couldn't see the road ahead of you. Uh-huh. And I'd always be like, oh, my God, the bridge is out. And, like, that was a nightmare I would have repeatedly as a kid, is the car falling into the water and then waking up. So even to this day, I'm still a little edgy about driving near rivers. Bridges are okay, but, like, if you're driving, like, right alongside the river, I get a little antsy.
Interesting. I wonder if there's, like, there's got to be that kind of fear of driving near water or something.
Yeah, I think it's, like, a combination of, like, claustrophobia, not being able to control the fall, kind of. And plus, rivers are just funky. You couldn't pay me to swim in any river surrounding Pittsburgh.
I remember one time at the lake where Heather's aunt lives next to you, they were like, hey, we're all going swimming in the lake. I was like, you're high. I am not getting in that thing.
Yeah, stuff lives in there.
Yeah, I know there's not like an alligator or a shark, but I'm afraid of walking away with some bacteria that lives in my body or something, you know?
Exactly. I'm not happening. I remember when I was a kid, we went to a lake one time, and I was fine at first until I saw the minnows swimming around me, and then I was just, like, I had a total freak-out session.
Were you like, piranhas! Piranhas!
No, not even piranhas, just little fish that I thought maybe would get in my pants, or, like, just stay away from me, fishies. I'm sorry, I'm in your area, let me leave now. Then there was kids, like, swimming underneath the floating water slide, and you know that, like, big fish stay under there because it's dark. And they're just, like, playing around under there without any fear. And I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you under there?
Whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah, I'm not big into that. Even, like, out in Tyler, the lake is nice to look at, but there's no way in hell I'd get in that water.
Hell no. No, no, no. It's beautiful to look at, but I'm not getting in.
No.
There was one year where one of the grandchildren, everybody was out on the dock. This happens every once in a while where there's too many people where one child gets lost in the pack where you're not paying attention because there's like five adults and there's like 10 kids and everybody was out on the dock goofing around and stuff. And all of a sudden there was a splash and everybody looked around. They're like, what just happened? And like one of the kids had jumped in the water just like for fun, I guess. And, you know, I forget how many people jumped in to grab her, you know, but all of a sudden, I didn't see any of this happen. I was inside, and all of a sudden, everybody comes in, and they're all wet, and they're like, what happened?
Lesson is stay inside.
Yes.
Then you don't feel any responsibility for the kids.
Yeah.
Someone else watch them. Somebody falls in the water, that's their problem.
When I'm outside and I look out that window and see a bunch of kids on the dock, I'm like, oh, shit. And I, like, run down there because I just have this fear that something's going to happen. Somebody's going to fall in or something.
With all those kids, whenever I was there, there were so many kids, and they're all down on that, what do you call that, the pier?
Yeah, yeah. And my main thing is to say, everybody off, just go back to land, you know. Nobody needs to play around this area because everyone like bends down and they're like, oh, look, and they want to lean over the edge. And I'm like,
all it takes is one trip, you know, one accidental nudge.
All it takes is one giant squid to pull them in, you know.
Exactly. You never know what's living in there. Loch Ness monsters.
And where she lives is called Lake Placid.
Yeah, exactly.
So, giant gator lives there.
And you know there's water snakes.
Oh, yeah.
I hate water. I hate snakes in general, but water snakes especially. Water snakes can bite my ass because they just freak me out.
There was one night where Heather's uncle, we were running in and out of the car at night, you know, going to the house, going to the car, loading stuff, and he goes, I saw a couple snakes out there, so be careful. And I was like, I'm not going back out there now. It's pitch black. I could step on a rattler or something, you know?
Yeah, I would step on, like, garden or garter snakes whenever I was going down to my friend's house. We had a garden below our house, and my friend lived at the bottom of the hill, and I would just cut directly down from my house to his house. It was probably, like, 300, 400 feet. And there were two times that I stepped on a small snake, and, like, whenever you step on it, it, like, wraps around your foot. And it's a tiny little snake. It's not going to do anything to you. But it freaked me out so much that I ended up walking the road that went all the way down to our road, then went down, then down his road. Instead of going 400 feet, I would go a half a mile or a mile out of my way because I did not want to step on another snake. It freaked me out that much. Yeah.
Yeah, snakes are scary. I mean, I don't feel like I have an unnatural fear of snakes. I think I have a normal fear of if there's one, I stay the hell away from it.
The only time I wasn't really afraid of a snake was when I was mowing grass out here at my house, and one was, like, cycling, you know, doing the little shuffle away from my lawnmower, and I was like, well, you know, come near me and I'll chop you to pieces, buddy. So, yeah, it still freaks me out. I hate snakes.
Yeah, you want to die? Come over here.
Yeah, I can't even watch snakes on TV because I get the heebie-jeebies.
I hate snakes!
Why did it have to be snakes?
Why did it have to be snakes? That's true. I wouldn't want to be near snakes at all.
No.
So, Bill, I got to tell you about my addiction, my latest addiction.
Oh, God. And I want to be addicted so bad. I need an addiction. I need a new drug.
This week, I have been playing Destiny during the day. You know, I have responsibilities, things I need to do, where I'm like, okay, if I do this and this. Like, for instance, I needed a haircut before this funeral. Before the funeral, I needed a haircut. I knew that all week. And I was like, okay, let's see. Look online. Okay, the haircut place opens at 9. If I get there at 9, my haircut probably takes 30 minutes. I get home by 10 a.m., possibly. And then I can start playing the game, and then I got to pick him up. Or, you know, I need to go to the bank or something like that. I would try to, like, plan everything I would have to do in the first hour of the morning. And, you know, I've actually thought of a funny story when I went to the haircutting place, Bill. You know how I go to Sports Clips? Yeah, Sports Clips. That's where, you know, the haircutters wear referee uniforms and every TV has ESPN news on it.
Okay. Yeah, I always hear those commercials for them on Howard Stern.
Yeah, and I think it's cool. Sometimes the first time I ever went there, you get the MVP for free. And that's where they wash your hair. They give you a hot towel for your face. And they, like, massage your shoulders and your head and stuff. And
I was like,
this is pretty nice. But if you want to do that, it's like $35. But it was free the first time. So
give me the $12 haircut.
Yeah, that's the way I am. So I went there, and I was in a hurry. I needed to get home and play Destiny. So I go in there, and there's probably like four or five other dudes there. And I'm like, oh, shit, this is going to take forever. So I write my name down, and the lady, okay, this is a part of the story you need to pay attention. I think she says Jason.
Oh.
So she goes, Jason. And I'm like, yeah, I'm here. And so I get up and I walk over there. And they remember your haircut instructions from last time. Like, every time I go in there, it's the same haircut, right? Mm-hmm. So she goes, so you get a faux hawk? And I go, a what? She goes, you get the clippers, 1 to 1.5 on the sides. And then on the top, you leave some spiked up hair. And I go, no. She goes, you don't get a faux hawk. And I go, I don't even know what a faux hawk is. She goes, what's your name again? I go, Jason. She goes, oh, I said Chavin. I was like, Chavin?
What the hell is a Chavin?
She goes, oh, I'm sorry. I called Chavin's name. And I go, oh, okay. And I started to get up. And she goes, no, just stay here. We'll get somebody else for Chavin. She goes, Chavin. And, like, nobody was there. So maybe the guy, like, left angry. Like, that dude's not Chavin. I'm Chavin.
I'm Chafin.
Yeah. So I got my hair cut by cutting in front of everyone, basically.
Hey, what works, works.
And so,
sorry, Chavin.
I was really embarrassed at first, but the lady was like, it's no big deal. And I was like, okay, if you say so. Me cutting in front of five people, but Hey, it got me in home to play Destiny, right?
Yeah. It was meant to be.
So I got to tell you, Destiny, I was trying not to finish the story, but I did. And then the way Destiny works is up to level 18. By the time you're at 18, you finish the story, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, from 18 to 30, there's no story. What you do is, from level 20 to 30, you level up in a different way. You use XP from 1 to 20, okay? XP, you know, you kill things, stuff like that. Your power always goes up and you increase. But when you get to 20, your character uses light to level up. And the only kind of gear that has light is legendary armor or what is it? There's legendary and then the main one is exotic. Is it the other way around? Is it exotic and then legendary? I get confused.
Yeah, I think it's normally legendary is the highest.
Okay. So you get exotic and legendary. You know, basically it's like this. Blue sucks. Okay, white is the worst. That's like the beginner stuff. Then there's blue. Then there's green. And then there's purple. And then basically yellow is legendary. Okay?
Yeah, that's normally what it is yellow is legendary.
So all my stuff is green, which isn't... I mean, it's better than blue, but it's not great. But I'm stuck at level 21. And I can't get to level 22 unless I get more light. Okay?
Okay.
So these are the things you do in Destiny. They have daily heroic missions that you can do. You can go to the Citadel and do player versus player. Or you can do different daily missions. You know, you do dailies and then you go do different missions, which are all basically the same levels you played in the game, but they're harder. Okay?
All right.
Or you can do these other missions, like you go and get bounties at the guy, and he says, it'll say, like, kill 100 fallen enemies with headshots. And I'm like, oh, cool, I can do that. So I go around, and all day I'm headshotting dudes, just trying to. And I look at the counter, I'm like, okay, I've only killed 20? Okay, and I go back, and I'm like, I've only killed 35? Jesus, this is taking forever. And I keep doing it over and over again. And finally today, I had it all week, I finally headshot 100. Okay?
Excellent.
Another one is kill 3 or more enemies with your most powerful weapon. You know, and that's your power that your character has. You know, boss. So I was going around going, okay, there's 3 guys, and then I'm trying to do it. And that took forever, too, because you don't have the power all the time. You have to build it up. So finally I got that, okay? And so you do these different missions to build points, which is basically reputation with the different NPCs. When you go to those NPCs, they're like, well, if you have 35 of this, you can buy a helmet that's purple. And I'm like, well, I only have 4 of those points. So you got to keep doing bounties like over and over and keep shooting guys in the head 100 times. And oh, my God, it's just overwhelming if you think about it. But basically, I'm never going to level up again is the way I feel. So anyway, the news comes out. I see online is that there's a loot cave in Destiny where... If you ever notice, and it's actually in a lower level area, if you see these 20 level dudes standing there shooting at something, those are guys shooting at a loot cave. And I'm like, where is this loot cave? I gotta go. Sure enough, I arrive, and it tells you, you need the right kind of weapon, you need a scout rifle, because it stays steady, and you can just shoot in one spot. There's these 3 other guys just standing there going, ka-choo, ka-choo, ka-choo. Because these things keep running out of a tunnel. And the way Destiny works is random drops happen when you kill things. So you could get a legendary or exotic item, right?
Okay.
The main thing that's frustrating people... I've never seen a purple thing drop. A purple engram. So basically the way the game works is you get engrams. Like Scientology has
Scientology, engram. Yeah.
Which is basically like a blueprint of It's like, what would you call it? It's like a blueprint of a weapon or armor. That's the best way to say it. And there's green, blue, and purple. When you see purple, you're like, holy shit! And you run up and you grab it, and then you take it to the guy, and you're like, here you go, I've got a purple engram. And he... But in the game, it's random. It's not like because it's purple, you're going to get a purple item. You could still get a freaking blue item.
That sucks.
That's what's making everyone so mad. So I've watched videos. They're like, look at this. I have four purple items. And I go to this guy. It's all shit. What am I doing this for? And people are getting angry, right? So they're like, I'm not going to do these heroic missions where you have to be level 26 anymore and it's hard as hell. And then finally you get something and you go and it's worth nothing. So I'm going to the damn loot cave. So I was like, hey, I'm going to try the loot cave. So I went there when I was level 20 and I started doing it. And you see things flying, you know, bullets, different engrams, different things, and you can't go get it right away, Bill. You got to wait like 30 minutes. You got to keep shooting, and you keep seeing more things drop. And the tunnel is all of a sudden glowing, and there's all this stuff in there. And finally, you wait for one person, can't take it anymore, and you see someone start running towards the cave, and then another guy goes, and then you're like, shit, I'm going too, and you all run in there at the same time, and you just see the side of your screen go ding, 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 with all the shit you're picking up, right? So everyone goes back, and they stand in the same spot, and you see that little dot, 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 where everyone's looking at their screen, right? They're looking at their inventory, and I'm like, shit, 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 nothing, crap, worthless. Oh, wait, this armor's 1 point more than the one I have, so I'll equip that. But I've never gotten anything good, and I did it for 2 days till finally I was like, I'm going back to doing heroic missions because it's fun playing and shooting creatures and stuff. That wasn't any fun doing the loot cave. So I saw yesterday that they actually fixed it where it doesn't work anymore. But one thing I did notice, though, there's more stuff dropping now. Like, I see engrams dropping a lot more than they were.
Yeah, I think I saw that not only did they fix the loot cave, but they updated the drops.
Yes. They made a new...
Before we started doing the show, I saw that somebody else found a new loot cave.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's funny where things just keep... Basically, they made changes to purple. If you find a purple engram, the way they fixed it is that legendary engrams will always produce legendary or better quality items now. So everyone that was going insane won't have to worry about it. But they're going to implement this like next week, I think. So you can, if tonight I were to loot something purple, I would wait till next week to get it decrypted, basically.
But right, so this place is... the Earth Flight of the Cosmodrome in Old Russia, heading towards the rocket yard. It has a 6-second enemy respawn rate, just like the original cave. And it says the person spent an hour there, but mostly got greens, couple blues, and even a couple purple. But of course, after taking it to the Cryptarch, it was a blue item.
Yeah.
So it's about the same as the...
Basically, right now, you could do that, and if you get any purple, keep it in your inventory or in the bank, and then next week when they implement the patch, then go get it decrypted.
That's smart, yeah.
Yeah, and one thing that you should also know, I know this is so nerdy talking about this, but when you get an engram, you don't have to get it decrypted right away. You could actually wait till you level up a couple and then take it, and it'll be the same level you are. If not, maybe...
It's good to know.
Yeah. And
especially if you're close to a level and you need new gear.
Except when you hit level 20, dude, all I do is loot stuff that's like level 18 and worthless now. But when you're at earlier level, it really kicks some ass. But, oh my God. And another thing is when you put something in the vault, you can save it for other characters. So, like, I've saved guns for my other lower character that when they get, like, 10 or level 12, then there will be these badass guns waiting for them.
Nice.
Which is cool. that you can do. So anyway,
that sounds fun. I can't wait to get into it. I've just been so busy lately that it's overwhelming. The
best
whole
part about the
stuff
game is it's teaming up and doing it with friends, and I want to play with you so bad.
Yeah, I know. I'm dying, and before I'm able to play, it's like you're going to be tired of it.
No, I don't think so. I'm not tired of it at all. I'm resisting playing it. You know, I'm like, no, you can't play it today. You know? Well, like, Bill, let's go ahead and talk about what's cool is, like, next week, Friday, I believe, Star Wars Rebels premieres on Disney XD.
Yes.
But they did a cool thing where they made it available online for certain people. Right?
Yeah, people that have, like, there wasn't DirecTV on that list, was there?
No.
You had to have, like, Cox or Dish or,
Cox.
You know. Yes.
Dish Big Network Cox. Or AT&T. Yeah, it was funny. I was like, oh, I'll just use their AT&T for internet password. And, of course, that didn't work.
Yeah, like, because you have to log into the AT&T website, and then it tells them, you know, what service you have.
Because yeah, like,
I tried doing
trip,
that
buddy.
For FX Now because I have Time Warner for my internet.
Right.
When I logged in there, like, you don't have FX service on your account, so you can't watch FX Now.
Yeah, and I was like, boo! Yeah, that happened to me when The Strain didn't record, and I tried to do that.
Yeah, so I got my sister's Dish Network login, and we shared that.
Yes, thank you. So we watched Star Wars Rebels. And I'll just go ahead and say that I had a great time watching it.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. I love, first of all, you can never get over how great Star Wars sound effects are. And how much that just immediately immerses you into the world of Star Wars.
I mean, even with it opening with the sounds of the TIE fighters, and it's just like, home.
Yes, and the sound of the different kinds of blasters, the sound of speeder bikes. Oh, I love it. And the whole time I'm like, oh, it's like, sing to me. Beautiful sounds of Star Wars.
Yeah, and there's that wonderful speeder bike chase with all the sounds.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, I had so much fun. I think I'm going to say I had a smile on my face the whole time. I was really enjoying
it. Yeah, I definitely did.
And I think a lot of times, you know, you know, I've seen some people worried that because it's Disney, but there's a lot of dark shit in Disney movies, you know?
Well, I think we even talked about that on a prior show, that we were kind of worrying about it, but I had mentioned that it's on Disney XD, and I wouldn't be too scared. I think they'll keep the edge on it.
Mm-hmm. What
and it was
said,
there was a pretty high death count.
Right. It's almost like some people say that... you know, I really fear what Disney's going to do with Star Wars. They're going to make it lame. But look at Marvel movies. That's owned by Disney. It didn't mess them up or whatever. It's whoever runs Star Wars and Lucasfilm is running that. It's not like Disney is handling it, you know.
No.
Pixar
it's not G-rated stuff. This is for teenagers.
Pixar handles their shit. Marvel handles their shit. Star Wars is being handled by their shit, you know. They're handling the Star Wars.
Everyone's handling shit.
Yes. But it was very enjoyable, cool action. You know, I like the cool Jedi in hiding idea that it's this guy who you basically, you know, I mean, the show's called Star Wars Rebels. The Rebel Alliance hasn't been created yet is what I'm thinking, or it's just now starting, right?
Yeah.
Or it's going to, the series is about this Rebel Alliance beginning. So
that's what I have to assume. I mean, I'm halfway through the book, Star Wars A New Dawn, which I need to get you the audiobook of. I keep meaning to upload it for you.
I want to hear that.
Yeah, and it's really, it starts out with the relationship. It starts out with Kaden, who is the kind of hidden Jedi, and he's just kind of a, he's not so much a smuggler as much as a cargo hauler. And he does little side jobs where he'll smuggle somebody into a situation, you know, into a planet or a starport while he's hauling stuff. And then there's Hera, who's kind of on her own. And I think she's the one that initiates the whole rebel process. And it's nice. I'm only halfway into the book, and they're just Caden and Hera are only starting to develop a relationship, whereas in the show, it's kind of settled that they know each other well.
Right.
So yeah. I've kind of got a tiny bit of the backstory going into the show. Like, Zeb hasn't shown up in the book yet, and I don't even know what he is. Is he like a Gundark or something? I don't know.
I don't know. I know that his original, the way he looks was Ralph McQuarrie's first Wookiee design.
And there's a joke in the show about that.
Yeah, where he's like,
yeah, and Caden says, what, haven't you ever seen a hairless Wookiee?
Yeah, that cracked me up, yeah. Haven't you ever seen a hairless Wookiee? That was good stuff, and I like their banter. There was a lot of banter, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was good. And I was, I always feel like Freddie Prinze Jr. can be really wooden, but his delivery was great. I think he found his mojo in voice acting.
Yeah, his character is, you know, very serious. You could tell he's got a job to do and all that, but you could see he's kind of like, ugh, you know, kind of like this kid is driving him crazy, but he knows that. He knows that there's something about this kid.
And you know what's funny? In the book, he's very immature. He's very kind of self-centered. Mm-hmm. And so it's a different character from the book. Like, it's an older, wiser version of him. So I don't know how long the book between the show and the book is.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's a way to find out. But yeah. You know what? The Ezra, the kid character, he could very easily be annoying, but I didn't think he was, because they did a great job of establishing that the Force is speaking to him very early on.
Yeah, he's kind of like the artful Dodger.
Yeah, he's like, they play that music from Star Wars, that, you know, like that, where he's like listening to the Force, and he knows to turn around, and he looks, and he sees Kanan at a distance, and he's kind of like, who's this guy? And then later on, you know, it warns him of danger. So it's pretty cool how they established that. And you even see Kanan go, whoa, at a couple of things he's done. So, you know, he's like, that kid, the Force is strong with that kid. But he doesn't say it for a long time. He doesn't go, hey, that kid's got the Force. He just kind of quietly observes him. And then it's not till later on that, you know, I thought it was really cool that he actually is called. It's like he's called to by the holocron.
Mm-hmm.
He's just sitting there, and he's like, huh? And he kind of turns around, and he starts walking, and he finds it immediately. What's funny is he's like, oh, this lightsaber called to me. But it wasn't the lightsaber. It was the holocron.
The holocron, yeah.
And I thought it was cool that last Jedi message from Obi-Wan is in there.
Yeah, that was the warning to all the other Jedi. Now, I wonder how that worked. Like, was it broadcast to holocrons, or was it just loaded to holocrons for safekeeping or something? I don't know.
Yeah, or maybe Kanan. I don't know how holocrons work. Is the information stored there by the Jedi, or do other Jedi put it there for another Jedi to see, or what?
Yeah, I think that's what it is, because holocrons are passed down through time from Jedi to Jedi. I think they're just little bits of knowledge.
Yeah, I also liked how what's that guy's name? Agent Kallus, the Imperial guy?
Yeah.
When he sees Ezra, he's like, oh, there's a Jedi. This must be his apprentice. You know, he, like, thinks immediately he's his apprentice. Because he's seen how sneaky the kid is. He knows there's something about that kid that's special.
Yeah.
And I like his mutton chops, too.
Yes, very 70s.
Yeah.
It's classy.
I loved just all that. Like, when he picks up the lightsaber and ignites it and stuff, it was really cool stuff. And I just like the crew, and I love the ship. And, like, inside the ship when he's sneaking around, I totally eat that stuff up, you know?
Yeah, there was some funny stuff whenever he gets into the ship, and they're like, well, he's definitely still on the ship or in the ship, and yeah, it was, I like all the characters. You had Sabine, who's kind of like the hot, like, crush of Ezra's. And
yeah, and she's like Mandalorian, I guess.
She must be Mandalorian.
She's got, like, the armor, and then there's the Twi'lek pilot named Hera.
Yep.
Which is cool. You got to have that. And then Zeb, who we're like hairless Wookiee. What's funny is his voice is so distinctive. It was like, is he from Australia or what's going on there?
There must be an Australian planet somewhere in that galaxy.
Somewhere in the Star Wars galaxy is Australia. Wait, what the hell, man? Do you hear this?
Yeah. Does she need to go out?
What do you want? What do you want? Huh? I think she just wants me to pet her.
Aww. Poor baby.
I don't want to pet you. I'm doing a show.
You're a disgusting pet dog thing.
No, pet me, please. But, I really, yeah. Oh, you know, the part that was kind of like, holy shit, is when, you know, Zeb doesn't really care for Ezra at all.
No.
And when he gets nabbed, he's like, sorry, kid. And he just shuts the door and they leave and he doesn't tell anyone. And then they're like, woo, we narrowly escaped. And they're like, hey, where's Ezra? And he's like, well, he didn't make it. And they're like,
what?
We
were going to dump him after the mission anyways.
Well, here's the thing, though. After Ezra is taken, Sabine has no idea. And she sets off the bomb she planted and the ship blows up. I would have thought immediately, like, we just blew the kid up. But apparently he went into the Star Destroyer that it was docked with.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think of that.
But I was like, holy shit, we just blew Ezra up, you know?
And I love that Sabine's like an explosives expert.
Yeah, she
always need one of those on a team.
I know, and I like also that she has spray paint that is explosive.
Yeah, thermal spray paint.
She spray painted the Rebel logo, and he like sniffed it, and he goes, get back! And it's like... That was pretty cool. And I like that also stormtroopers are pretty much blaster fodder. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, and the, like, gigantic blasting holes in their chest armor. And mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, I was very surprised at the stormtrooper death toll.
It's a lot of fun. I was like, yep, this is Star Wars. It's fun.
It is.
It's fun and an adventure, and that's what we want. And what did you think of the Wookiees there?
I thought that was really well done. That was fantastic. It, you know, whenever they get to the Wookiees and the Wookiees, they were Wookiees. They, you know, they big, loud, you know, they did what they needed to do. I don't want to say anything because I don't want to spoil it for people, but it was really well done.
You know, there might be a famous Wookiee in the episode.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
I really like the introduction also of their droid named Chopper, because the first time you see him, Ezra's breaking into Kanan's room, and he looks over and he just goes, and he just walks, you know, scrolls by, and he kind of looks at him, and then he's like, doesn't think anything of it. But then, of course, he goes and he tells that he's breaking into your room. I just thought that was funny how they introduced him, of just kind of like strolling by and watching him. But as soon as it was over, I was like, okay, I'm ready to watch more, Bill.
And they end it with a reveal that we know is going to be the main villain of the show. And it was like, no, more. It's 40 minutes. Come on.
Oh, yeah. They introduced the Inquisitor.
Yes.
Did you like the way he wears his lightsaber on his back?
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. I love the design of that lightsaber.
Yeah, is it easy to grab that if he needs to in battle? It's like,
I don't know.
Gotta get this off my back.
He has really long arms.
Yeah, he's very limber. He's like, zhup. Yeah, I can't wait to see a lightsaber battle. So basically, we know at this point in Star Wars that the Jedi are hiding. So as soon as this guy's like, I think I have found a Jedi, or he doesn't even say a Jedi. He goes, I found a man leading a group of rebels and he wielded a lightsaber. And he goes, I'm glad you called me.
Yeah.
He's like, because now I get to kill somebody. That part of Star Wars that, you know, the Jedi were all hunted down. Getting to see that is exciting. Just the idea of it.
I love being able to see the time period, mm-hmm. you know, between the first Star Wars film, you know, seeing the Imperials showing up in their Star Destroyers and terrorizing the towns.
Yeah,
and,
like at the very
beginning. You have all these arrogant officers and It's in the way they would just arrest people for treason for no reason, just to inspire fear and, you know, complacency.
They take all that dude's fruit. And he's like, why? And he's like, imprison him. He's like, shouldn't be asking questions. Oh, and they do a good job of establishing that Ezra's only in it for himself, kind of like Han Solo is at the beginning.
Yeah.
Where he's used to fending for himself, so when he sees this group of people and they're actually giving food to people who are, have no food, and they're helping them out and they're giving guns so they can defend themselves, it's kind of like, whoa, they're doing things for people? What's that about? So it's kind of cool establishing that, you know, that he could do that. By the way, he lives in a cool tower too, doesn't he?
Yeah, I wonder what that is. Like a communication tower that he lives in?
It's pretty sweet, man. Lothal is this planet. Or Lothal or something?
Lothal.
But I thought it was a lot of fun. I'm excited to watch it every week.
Yeah, I can't wait. You know, it's going to be difficult because we tend to want to binge these sort of shows.
Yeah. Yeah, it was spoiled like Clone Wars. You could just watch endless Clone Wars. But this, you... What, one show episode at a time? What the hell?
Yeah, I even wait for like that Korra show, the Legend of Korra, and I binge watch that. I'm kind of in the middle of binge watching it, so I just get spoiled. I'm not used to watching shows as they air.
Right. Well, it's like when you watch The Strain, like the episode feels like it's 15 minutes long.
Yeah.
And then it's over. Unless, of course, this most recent episode where there's one group of people you want to watch, and then they keep cutting back to the kid, and you're like, oh, come on! My favorite part of that episode, the most recent, The Strain, he's like, tell you what, I'll go buy you some cigarettes. I'm like, oh, come on, kid, you can't leave.
Yeah, I can't stand the demented mom and the boy. It's just, it's like the Walt and Michael of Lost.
The best part, though, is when he comes back, okay, I got your cigarettes. She's just sitting with her back turned quietly.
Yeah, the tease, like she's been infected.
She's like, oh, shit. He's like, are you okay? Hello? Walks closer. Hey, is everything okay? What's going on? All of a sudden she goes, oh, thank you. And she's just flying. It's like,
yeah,
oh,
she doesn't even matter what type of cigarettes they are because he just grabs them off the floor.
Oh, I love that over a dead guy. But what's funny, the guy's like, hey, kid, what are you doing in here? Hey, there's somebody else over here. Let me check it out. And it's like, ah!
Yeah, they lasted a long time, the food looters.
Yeah, it was funny. But my favorite part is the dude, oh, what's this guy, Gus. When, you know, unfortunately his brother Weevil is a Strigoi, and then he finds it's his mom in the closet. She's a Strigoi, and he doesn't have the heart to kill her. So he's leaving, and then he sees that his annoying landlord is a Strigoi, and he's like, oh, okay. And he grabs the fire axe. I forget what he says, like, hey, Mr. Something, I gotta have a word with you. Because, you know, he's just going to enjoy chopping his head.
I got your rent.
Yeah, you got your rent right here, and he's got an axe. Funny stuff.
Yeah, it's a good episode. And I'm so disappointed that we're already up to the penultimate episode.
Right, the finale. So I don't know what's going to happen there, but I know there's going to be a lot of tease in there because there's a lot more story. You know?
Oh, yeah, there's a ton more story. In fact, for my birthday, you sent me volume one of the Strain comic.
Right.
Or the Strain trade paperback, I should say. And where it ends is whenever F goes to the CDC office and they won't, they're like, they won't believe him.
Right.
And I guess they arrest him. And that's where it ends.
Oh, wow. So it didn't... I wondered if it would cover the first season of the show.
No, it's... I bet you there's... It got to be at least, like, two more or three more volumes for it.
Talking about stretching that show out, huh?
Yeah.
But I'm still enjoying it. The episode that was all about the wife, though, that was a little trying.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the wife.
Well, because we'd just gotten over that kick-ass... episode of them at the gas station, you know, and then
it was the budget episode.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I did like seeing what happened to her, and it was totally just gave me the heebie-jeebies of the worm going in her eye. That was just like, you know.
Yeah, but I could have done without that.
But it was messed up. That was a messed up episode, but I wanted to see more with the main group.
Yeah, that's who we care about. Now we're just waiting to see, what's his name? You just said his name. The Mexican guy.
Gus.
Yeah, we're waiting for Gus to meet up with the rest of them.
Yeah, to become the fearless Dragoi killers, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, you know the part in this episode that really just was like, was when Fett was in that pipe crawling and he got stuck and there was this Dragoi chick right behind him getting closer and closer.
Yes.
And he's like, can't move, can't move. And then Nora just grabs him and yanks on him.
Yeah, but I loved how the Master set up that trap for F.
Yeah.
To try to take them all out. And we got to see the light bomb used.
Yeah, that was cool. When he was trying to put that together, I was like, oh, sweet. Because, you know, we've talked about the similarities between Blade 2, and also, which was directed by Guillermo del Toro, and The Strain. And in Blade 2, they used these UV grenades. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
But, of course, in Blade 2, they're much more advanced weaponry.
Yeah, you have to assume that they're only going to become more advanced as the show goes on.
Yeah, and this Fett comes up with that, you know, strobe. At first, he, like, blows it up, and F's like, what if it was like a strobing effect? He goes, yeah, that's a good idea, Doc. So it's got this cool strobing effect, and you see that big nest at the end where there's just, dude, what do you think, thousands, hundreds
of
thousands?
Oh, God, yeah. There's got to be, like, tens of thousands, because it just seems to go on and on and on.
And Abraham's trying to go in there, and he's like, no, you can't go in there. I'm still waiting also for flashbacks of Abraham in his love, whoever his love was, that he keeps her heart in a jar. And, you know, that part with the old lady, Nora's mom at the end, I pictured the kid turning her around and she's holding that jar and she's infected with worms. I thought that's what was going to happen. So it was so funny that they just had her turn around and go, oh, hi. And she was fine.
Oh, thank God. You have my cigarettes.
But she is annoying. They need to just put a bullet in her head.
Yeah. And
nuts.
And you can obviously tell that, like, the F storyline with his wife is going to be similar to what the Master did with Abraham's love.
Right. Oh, and he says something interesting where, I am the destroyer of men. I kill everything they love. I've got your wife, and soon I will have your son. And he's like, dude, what the hell, man?
Yeah, he knows a little too much.
And people need to stop trying to attack him by doing the weapon to your side and kind of raising it up at him, because that does not work.
No, that doesn't work.
You need a sniper rifle with silver bullets about a mile away and take him out that way. Am I right?
Yeah, no, you're right. I think it's ridiculous that they would do that. Like, just they need more nail guns. They need to hit up the Home Depot. They're looting the wrong places.
Oh, by the way, I have some good news, Bill. Defiance has been renewed.
That made me happy. I wasn't really sure what was going on there.
Yeah, it was kind of like, oh, God, what if it's canceled? But it's a good show, and they had a really good second season. I'm glad that they're giving it more of a chance.
I was shocked to see it's already on Blu-ray and DVD. I went to Best Buy this week to just see what was the doing, and I saw it there, and it's already out on Blu-ray and DVD, the second season.
Sweet.
Now, I don't know what they would include in that would make me want to buy it. You know, I'm starting to get away from buying. I used to buy a ton of Blu-rays. But anymore, now it's like, it's got to be really big. Like, the last thing I bought was Captain America.
Oh, yeah, that's like, it's like Captain America and Guardians of the Galaxies are must-owns.
Yeah, in fact, I pre-ordered Guardians of the Galaxy this week because it comes out, like, the first week of December on 3D Blu-ray, Blu-ray,
nice.
DVD. Yeah, so I'm looking for, that's the next one I'm probably looking forward to the most.
And I definitely want to see the Tom Cruise film, finally, in 3D.
Yes, that's hit online. I believe it comes out like the first week of October or yeah, something like that. But I know it's the 3D version at least. So we're going to I'm going to try to find that for you and get it to you so you can watch it because that's such a fun movie.
Oh, I can't wait, man. It kind of reminded me of Destiny, how I die over and over again. Dude, there was this way, you know, I just can't wait to do the storyline because when you do the boss missions, there are times where you'll just kind of sit in a corner for a second and go, this is impossible. I can't do this. Yeah. And then you start doing it again and you start playing again. And it's just like waves and waves. And you're like, how am I supposed to survive this? And finally you like do something where you're like, oh, I lived through that. And you run and you hide and you see your shield go back up. And you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I lived through that. You know, that's what makes it fun. That's why I think it's so addictive. There's like these adrenaline rush moments. And that's why I can't wait for you and I to play it together.
Yeah, that's what I'm really looking forward to, because we always had so much fun with that sort of stuff. The like the online co-op of Halo 3, and yeah, so I miss that. Or Army of Two.
Yeah.
Oh, man, let's tandem parachute.
Oh, God. Yes.
Chest bump.
Chest bump, ladies.
I was talking to someone this week about how great, how like homoerotic that first game was.
Oh, so homoerotic.
And then they just killed it with the second game. They totally removed that element, that cheesy homoerotic element.
Yeah, it was like a couple of, it was like the ambiguously gay mercenaries. You know,
yeah, at least the first game was.
Yeah, and you could even like, remember we talked about you could go to the store and decorate your gun and like, put jewels and gold plating on it.
The bling.
Yeah, you could bling out your weapons. It was hilarious. Like, okay, I'm going to add gold to my sniper rifle here.
And it kind of made you think, like, who were the guys making this? And did they not realize it? Or was this on purpose? There's like a whole debate to it.
Yeah.
Like, was that on purpose? Or did we just have a couple, like, frat bros making this game that didn't even realize how homoerotic it was.
The tandem skydiving was hilarious. So funny.
Oh, I'm looking at Destructoid right now, and there's even like a whole meme thing going on with the Cryptarch where it's a picture of Neil Patrick Harris, and it says purple engram. This is going to be a legend. Wait for it. Uncommon. It's
like, oh,
yeah,
that's
so
funny.
They're fixing that with patch 1.02 next week.
Right. It's funny when you go up to him and he goes, oh, let's see what you have here. Interesting. And you're like, yeah, yeah, just give me good shit, okay? And then it's not. And there's this one guy. They have this one vendor that sells legendary items in his store, but he only shows up 3 days a week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the only way you can buy stuff in a shop is you have to loot coins called strange coins. And with strange coins, you can buy legendary gear. You're like, holy shit. So I looked and I had like 7 strange coins. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go to that dude on Friday. And it's like, cool, I can get a gun with 23 strange coins.
Oh, God.
I was like, oh, my God. I'll never have 23 strange coins.
Strange coins.
I'll never have it. And there's other things. I figured out why you need to dismantle weapons and stuff, because you need, when you have a rifle, and the more you use it, you unlock better scope, more bullets, higher damage. You use pieces to other things you've dismantled to give you the points to do that.
Oh, okay.
So that's why you need glimmer and all that kind of shit. So it's pretty interesting.
I can't wait to get into it.
I think Baby has a sticker in her paw because she's licking and tugging at her paw.
Okay.
Poor thing. You got a sticker in your foot? Just like that story with the lion, he's got a thorn in his paw, Belle.
Aww.
If I pull her thorn, she'll be forever loyal. She already is. Oh, I see it right here. There's a replacement for the loot cave. Oh, and it's just Treasure Cave 2.0. That's hilarious. Dude, I got to log on and get in there right now.
Yeah, you won't get anything good.
Yeah, it's funny because in that that place, you have to stand at a certain distance. And if somebody gets too close, you see another person go up and hit them, like, back up! Because, you know, there's no communicating in the game except for emotes and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And also, there's a point... This is the best part about the treasure... The loot cave, where I don't know what it is, but for some reason, players standing in one place for a long time shooting things, all of a sudden, the sky goes black and... About 100 enemies pour out of everywhere. There's knights, high-level wizards. There's like 6 wizards. They're all coming after you at the same time. And I almost wondered if Bungie was like, okay, these guys want to do this? We're going to send everything we got. So maybe like once an hour or maybe once every 2 hours, they send this huge wave of enemies at you. And I was like, holy shit. And all of a sudden... You and all the other guardians that are there are fighting for your lives. And it's like the most intense, insane battle ever. And it's awesome. And
yeah, that sounds fun.
And then all of a sudden, everyone's dead. And then everyone lines up again. And then you're like... down the cave. Like, you all get reset. And then you wait like an hour and a half. All of a sudden, they all come back. And it's like, holy shit. I remember trying to run into a little room, and I looked in there, and knights are like these big dudes, and they have swords, and they just pound you. Dude, there was like 6 of them just standing there, and I went, oh, shit, and I turned around and went back.
Like Han Solo going into a room full of stormtroopers.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not going that way, and wizards are like these floaty dudes.
Yes, they're from the moon.
Seeing like 6 of them, and they're all shooting at you, you're like, holy shit. But I guess Titans, they have this protective dome they can... put over all the characters and it'll protect them. And luckily a dude put this shield up and everyone like got into it and everyone was shooting at him and everything. That really saved everyone's asses.
That's awesome.
I can't wait for you to play this. This is awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be so much fun.
So we got Destiny Bill, we got Star Wars Rebels. So exciting. And I can't wait to do a show next week where we can talk all about our favorite shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And hey, have you seen the trailer to John Wick yet? The
new I trailer? Have. It's I saw it, I think, about a week ago because there was a review for it. I guess they had shown it at, what's that fest in Austin?
South by Southwest.
It was either that or Fantastic Fest or something like that. But they had shown it there and people were just like, oh my God, this is what happens when somebody takes that John Woo formula and actually improves upon it. Mm-hmm. People are saying it's just incredible. It's like filled with energy and, you know, it's fun and Keanu Reeves is like pitch perfect and that it actually like it raises the bar for that sort of gun ballet kind of film.
Oh, awesome. It looks so cool. It's nice to see Keanu back and killing dudes, too.
Oh, I can't wait for it. I think the thing that some people have said is that what's so impressive is that it's obvious that all of the stunt work is actually Keanu.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, so he did his own fighting, you know, stunts and all that stuff. So you got to, you know, give it up to Keanu Reeves because he always puts 150 million% in.
That's a lot of percent.
That's a lot of percents.
And also, I want to see Box Trolls, which is by the people who did Paranorman.
Yeah, that opens today.
Yeah, and I want to take Emma to see that, but maybe next week or something, next weekend.
Could be a good diversion after the drama in Tyler, so
yeah,
it might be a bad idea to try and do it on Sunday.
They have a really nice kind of thing planned. They even don't want people to wear black. They want it to be kind of a joyous occasion kind of thing.
That's fantastic. That's awesome.
Well, Bill, that was a fun lunchtime show. It was good to catch up with you, and hopefully people enjoy it. Please, if you want to skip over the Destiny part, you can. I completely understand. But to know I have an addiction, and I'm trying to...
You're
going
to go to Destiny Anonymous soon, go through the 12 steps.
Yeah, the only way for me to get over my Destiny thing is to play it so much I get sick of it. Because that's what happens eventually, right? Like,
that's the best thing for you.
It happened with Titanfall, where I was like, lost interest.
Yeah, but it happened quickly with Titanfall. Like, they didn't push out enough content to keep it interesting.
Yeah, I keep seeing people say, Destiny doesn't have enough story. I'm like, no, Titanfall didn't have enough story.
Yeah, that's true.
Destiny has enough, like, hinting at it for story potential where it's very exciting. You know, and I can't wait. Like, people who are defending it said, go back and play the first Halo. The storyline is very lacking in that because they were setting everything up.
Yeah.
And it's like, by the time you get to Halo 4, it's like, you know so much more about the universe and stuff. Or even Halo 3, that was the first Halo game I played, and I was like, I don't understand what's going on, but it seems really interesting, you know?
Yeah, it was. As the story goes along, it's fantastic. And still, those Halo books are some of the best, sci-fi books I've read. I absolutely adore The Fall of Reach. That's such a wonderful book.
Yeah, I bet you that there will be Destiny novels eventually.
Oh, there has to be.
They have this thing now where you get these cards, the grimoire cards, and you can go on Bungie.net and log in, and you basically, as you do different things in the game, you unlock cards. And so I was like, what are these cards that I keep unlocking? So I went online to look, and they're story. You actually read story, and it fleshes more stuff out for you.
Okay.
But the only problem is I was like, I need to go back to playing the game. I'll read this shit later. You know? It's like, I'd rather play the game right now. I don't want to read this. So that's pretty cool. So, Bill, thank you so much for joining me for a lunchtime show.
No problem.
And do you have anything you want to say before we go?
No, I think we've said it all.
I had a great time here in the I would say the cantina.
Yeah.
It's a food court. If we were in Star Wars, this food court would totally be a cantina, wouldn't it?
Filled with all kinds of interesting beings.
You know what's funny is because of Star Wars, I think the first time I heard the word cantina was Star Wars.
Yeah, so for me, definitely.
When you go to, like, Mexican Inn and it says Mexican Cantina, I'm like, awesome! Like, I'm thinking Star Wars. Just waiting for somebody to burst my bubble and go, you do know that cantinas existed before Star Wars. Shut up! No, they didn't!
No, they didn't!
All I know is cantinas from Star Wars. Mos Eisley and Mexican Inn Cantina.
Mexican Inn Cantina.
Yeah.
They don't serve droids there.
Just for that, I need to hear the hand fart version of the cantina music, Bill. Ah, yes. Just picture you at Mexican Inn, Bill. It makes a lot of sense. Gassy with all the beans.
Absolutely. Lots of beans. Beans and rice.
I need to see what this guy's done lately on YouTube, Bill.
He's got to have, like, a nice category of selection now.
This is the best part. How does he do that? I'll say it already. The guy is a friggin' genius, okay?
He's a manualist.
He's a hand fartist. That's what I love.
Jerry Phillips is his name.
What I think is funny, when I go back to the drops, all I got to do is type in hand fart, and that comes up.
Mm-hmm. Hand fart. It looks like the last thing he updated was 3 years ago.
Oh, no.
Yeah, last thing he did was the Who's Pinball Wizard.
He lost his hands in an industrial accident.
Yeah, he lost his hands in a manualist accident.
He'll never hand fart again. No, he has horrible arthritis.
I want to hear him do, like, Al Jarreau's moonlighting.
Oh, yeah.
Something like... Yeah. That would really test his, you know, his octave levels.
Every step of the way.
It's so funny, in the later videos I'm seeing here, like the last four videos he does, he has like a boom mic over his hand so people can hear him better.
Oh, well, good. Good.
But that was only the last four videos. And it seems his views dropped off significantly.
Oh, he needs a Patreon, doesn't he?
He does.
Hand fart Patreon. Guy's a genius.
That's too bad.
That's sad.
He had real talent.
He did. I mean, we just witnessed it.
He must have died in the hand fart wars.
I wonder if he ever did hand farting, the final countdown. Did he ever do that?
Oh man, but he needs to do it to the worst cover ever.
What? Yeah.
Oh my god, the Manualist plays My Fart Will Go On, Titanic Love Theme.
Wow. What about this one? It's, Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's just wrong.
I love it. It's beautiful.
It really is.
Wow, he really does the whole song?
I gotta
skip ahead, though.
That's like an 8-minute song. Wow.
Has like computer speakers behind his head.
Yeah, that's always been my favorite. Dude, he does the gong.
The gong? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I gotta see that. Oh wait, we gotta hear this part first.
Yeah. That's like double fart action going on there.
Okay, I can take it anywhere. Okay, let's listen to this here. Oh, now we've come full circle, Bill. I like how he's made up like a zombie in the video.
How does he get through, like, telling me, but...
I love this, Bill. This is genius. What the hell? You've got to see this video where he's a zombie.
I'm watching it right now.
Oh my god.
Someone get this man in a film if he's not dead.
I guess this is the most uneventful part of the song.
Yeah. It's the interlude.
I can't get over him in the zombie makeup. And he's got a hoodie. That's the best way to cover up bad makeup is you also put a hood up. Part. All right, guys, that's our show. See you next time. Later, Bill.
It's later, awesome. Jason.
Oh, yeah. That's the end of the lunchtime show.
Robot.
I want the fart version of this song.
I think we need to commission it.
Yeah, he's like, Okay, I'll come out of retirement for you guys. All right, guys, see you next week.
You're listening to Talk Radio X.
No, you're not.
The Talk of Mobility. Bye.
Now this is podcasting.